You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
We're in Ephesians chapter 4 tonight. Great crowd. We're going to miss these college students. They graduate on May the 5th, and then they four groups go out and begin to tour. A Spanish group, they're singing all in Spanish. They're in conferences. I'll be with them in Los Angeles for a day or two. But they'll be all over the nation, and then we've got other groups that'll be out singing and serving God. And then we have them going to foreign fields this summer. And I love our college students. College students, you have been superb. I want to say, and I don't know how you can say this, but I think it's the best working student body we've ever had. They all have a love for, they go to those 15 rest homes, they have a love for them. And I thank God for our college students and all they mean. Thank you, church family, for welcoming to our lives. I do want to say that on Wednesday night, I'll put an advertisement in the bulletin. I'll clear it with the staff tomorrow. We've got on Wednesday night in the month of May, we'll have a special, I believe it's Hispanic night. We'll be eating Hispanic food one night. And then we'll have Brazilian night. And then we'll have hamburgers and hot dogs on July 4th. And then we'll have, we'll have Filipino night in August. And that's in Wednesday. Then Sunday nights, we're going to have the Senior Cafe coming up real soon. And you'll be able to, so it's a lot of fellowship time in the summertime. We're really looking forward to that. Well, we're in the book of Ephesians. Before we have prayer, let's read Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 1 through 7 together. Ephesians 4, 1 through 7. Let's read together. Ready? Begin. I, therefore, Father, I thank you for these great people. Lord, I love them, and they know I do. I thank you for the privilege to stand and open up the Word of God. Lord, may it find a lodging place in our heart tonight is my prayer. Open our eyes to the Scripture. In Jesus' name, amen. Recently, last year, I never had allergies before, but I got my eyes so swollen up. And I worked with it. And then this year, they got really bad. Wednesday night I had it, and about a month ago. And Thursday and Friday, my eyes were so swollen, I couldn't hardly even see out of them. And I've been sneezing and all that, so I must have allergies. Well, I said, I can't look like that on Sunday. So Brother Chad Ith, he made an appointment with my doctor, Dr. Conklin. And I went to see him. The first thing that they do before you see your doctor, they always get a nurse out there. And the nurse walks you in, she's very polite, says, get on the scale. I said, excuse me? She said, get on the scale. I said, you get on the scale. You first. She said, I'm not getting on that scale. I said, why should I? I took my coat off, I took my phone out, I took my wallet out, I took my keys out. I took my shoes off. I took 25 pounds off me. I know I did. I got it all off. I said, okay, I'll do this. And I watched those digits. It was a digital. I watched them. I couldn't believe Brother Oxenite. Now, this would be probably, my weight would probably be very thin for you. No, that's not true. I saw what it said. She wrote it down. I said, that can't be right. She goes, it's right. I went and sat in the waiting room, in the office there waiting for the doctor. He goes, Pastor, you're heavier than you've ever been before. I said, I know that. I said, I don't know what to do. I'm eating basically, this is true, honey. We eat basically one meal a day. Have popcorn at night, 15 pounds of butter, that might be doing it, and salt. But that's about all we have. I eat basically one meal a day, maybe a muffin in the morning. I watch my calories. But I said, I just rest right here. He said a few things about age. And then he said this. He goes, Pastor, you can get rid of that very easily. I said, good. How? He said, walk 30 minutes a day. I'm going to start that one of these years. I can't walk 30 minutes a day. I just can't walk. So I've been checking my phone. And my phone used to say like 10,000 steps a day. That was great. It's been saying 1,200 steps a day. I don't know what is wrong, but there's a problem somewhere. He said, I want you to start walking. And the Apostle Paul said the same thing. He said, I want you to walk. The Christian walk is a good walk.
Amen.
Look what it says in chapter 2, please. Chapter 2, verse number 10. Let's read it together. Chapter 2, verse 10. Are you ready? Begin. For we are his workmanship,
created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
We should walk in good works. Chapter 4. You read so great. Thank you. Verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 1. Ready? Begin.
I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you are called.
So God says, I want you to walk worthy. Verse number 17. Ready? Begin. This I say, therefore,
and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind.
By the way, chapter 5, verse 2, please. Chapter 5, verse 2. Ready? Begin. Walk in love, and then we're to walk in light. Verse 8, ready, begin. Verse 15, ready, begin. See then that ye walk
circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise.
God's word says, I want you to walk. I want you to be making, in other words, I want you to make progress. And so if I'm walking, I'm going to go over this direction here. I need to walk with energy, with enthusiasm that I'm getting over here and I get here. That's what walking in the Bible, it's making progress. And God says, I want you to make progress with your love toward the saints. I want you to make progress with the light of the Word of God. I want you to walk in circumspectly, walk very carefully. I want you to walk worthy of the calling that I gave you. I want you to walk in righteousness. God's interested in our walking. And God's Word tonight, as I speak on the subject, walk with Jesus. He wants us to walk with Him. I walk with the King, hallelujah. I walk with the King, praise His name. No longer I roam, my soul journeys home. I walk and I talk with the King. Let's leave out of here tonight and let's tomorrow walking with Jesus, walking every day, walking all the way, walking with Jesus, walking with Jesus alone. I'd rather walk with Jesus then roam the paths of sin. I'd rather have His friendship than earth's best honors win. My one desire is to please Him everything I do. So I'm walking onward, upward, bound for heaven and God. Are you walking with the King? Let's look at walking with the Lord Jesus tonight. And he says this, I therefore, chapter 4, verse 1, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation where you are called, with all lowliness. God begins with lowliness. God says, I want you to walk humbly before me. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven abomination, a proud look. God hates pride. I was praying this afternoon and just thinking about my own life. And I have nothing to boast about, my preaching ability, anything. I have nothing to boast about. But I said, God, reveal to me right now. I'm preaching tonight on this subject and I've got my message all written in my Bible, but God, reveal to me. And God revealed something of pride in my life. All of us have it. The best Christian here has pride. And I have to discover, God, will you point out to my life where I'm self-willed, where I'm independent, where I want my way. God, would you please, I'm to walk lowly. My job is to not be served. My job's to serve you. That's what God gave me. Yet you've been the most amazing church pastor's wife could ever want. You have labored over us, and you've esteemed us very highly in love for our work's sake. But our job is, if we're chiefest of all, we should be servant of all. My job, I don't want to use the word I hate it, but I hate it when someone says, Pastor, I have this prayer request. I didn't want to bother you with it. You are not a bother. You're what I'm supposed to be doing. Your prayer request is urgent to me. Your prayer card that I get them always, I get them every which way at the door on Sunday. I get them in the offering, but I get them everywhere. And your prayer request is important to me. I need to take it to the Lord. I'm on the radio station. We got stations. And now a fella just texts me and he goes, Pastor, Brother Les texts me, Brother Martinez. He goes, you're on Southern Gospel Radio, all 50 states and 132 countries. Just we put you on last week. And I never even knew that, never even asked it. But I get emails all the time. Chrissy sends me emails, Pat sends me emails, my wife sends me emails, Brother Moyer sends me emails. I get emails all the time. And they always, most of them are asking for prayer. I take those emails that they print out for me. I know I'm okay, archaic how I do it, but they print them out and I write back a hand note to every single one of them. I get someone in the office to send it back to them. But I always say, I have just had prayer for you right now. I think of so many requests this week of people that were asking prayer. That's my job. My job's to pray for. How can I pray for you if I don't know what I'm praying for? How can I pray for your finances or your child? Some of you think, well, I'm driving me crazy with my job interviews. You're not driving me crazy. That's my job. That's what God, we will give ourselves continually to the Word of God and to prayer. That's why you hired me to pray. God says, I want you to walk, Jack, in lowliness of mind. I don't have the ability to do what I'm going to ask, that I'm going to tell you. Dr. Criswell did. Dr. Criswell pastored the great First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. For his 50th anniversary, they gave him a Mercedes, a black Mercedes, and just gave it to him. And he was so proud of it. But for his 50th anniversary at the church, he wrote books. He made a lot of money writing books. He gave back every single dime the church ever paid him after 50 years. That's amazing. Now don't worry, I'm not gonna give you, I've never made a dime off my books. Never made a penny off my books. But I've prayed so many times, Lord, that'd be such a wonderful thrill. If I could give back to these people before my journey's over every dime they've ever invested in our lives. I don't know how I wanna do it. But that's a prayer request of mine. God says that I want you, Jack, to walk in lowliness of mind, to have a humble opinion about yourself, to be willing to die to self, to be willing to say no to yourself. He said, I want you to walk in lowliness, and tomorrow when you get up, let's all walk in lowliness of mind tomorrow all day long. Amen. You won't fight with your wife. You won't fight with your husband. You won't fight with your kids if you walk in lowliness of life. Notice the second thing he says, and with meekness. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is power. The wind is looked at as meek. It's powerful. It can be very destructive. But meekness is not destructive. Meekness is power under control. I wonder how many of you are CEOs. I talked to one tonight ahead of time. But you're a CEO of your company, a CFO of your company, chief financial officer. You're a manager of people. You have employees that are under you. Some of you have up to 300 employees under you. I know that. And God's put power in your life. But with that power, don't ever be cruel to people. Say, I can't be cruel because of HR. HR has nothing to do with it. As you deal with people and you have to correct things, you ought to do it as a Christian in Christian love with kindness. Many people, and you can't treat everybody the same. That's what government wants you. Treat everybody the same. You can't treat them all the same. Some people, I've pastored a lot of staff members through the year. Some pastors, staff I've had in days gone by, some loved it when I got in their face. They just thrived on that. When I was a staff member, I loved that. My pastor, I had two pastors. I worked for this one. He never got in my face. This one, my first one was so godly and holy, but my second one was a great leader. I needed both of them. And this guy, he would just get in your face. I thrived on that. I loved that. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed the correction. And he would correct over everything. And he didn't know anything about music. But he corrected me about music because he knew what he wanted. And I welcomed it. I got some folks, even on my staff in these days today, if I had to get on them and correct them or something, it would be World War III in their heart. You can't, don't correct me. Or okay, I'll resign. I'm not asking to resign, I'm asking to change this. You know, God says, I want you to have meekness. When you deal with people at work tomorrow, deal with them in Christian love. Maybe, just maybe tomorrow, when this guy that's not completing his task, maybe his wife is carrying a critical disease that the doctor just diagnosed. Maybe he's not told you about her critical disease. Maybe he's carrying a critical disease. Maybe they're having financial trouble and struggles in life. Maybe it's their health, or maybe it's their wealth, or maybe it's their housing. They don't know what to do and how to change the situation. God says, if you have power, take that power, but put it under control.
Amen.
I look at the people in this church with power. I look at you big shots, and I don't say that arrogant. I look at you people that have such great power. Every one of you have such a meek spirit. God says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. Look what he says. Number one, he said, walk with all what? Lowliness. Walk with all what?
Lowliness.
And then secondly, with what? And then thirdly, long suffering. I like to reverse the word suffering long. Long suffering is the ability, please hear it, it's the ability to endure under hardships. I watch people in this church under great hardships. I prayed with a lady back here this morning before church. She's a young mother, kids in a child in our elementary school, and she's going through cancer treatments and surgery on Tuesday. I just held her hand back here and had prayer with her. She's such a sweet lady. I stopped at the house yesterday just to have prayer with them. You know, as we think of people that suffer, she's got such a good spirit. She goes, Pastor, God's got this all under control. I believe He's going to take care of it. I don't know if the doctors are that persuaded, but she is.
Praise God.
Hey, young people, you're maybe not in a good home. Maybe you have a great home. I don't know. Maybe there's no dad. Maybe there's no mom. Maybe you're being raised by your grandma, grandpa, or aunt or uncle. I don't know what your situation is. But God... Your dad, Brother Swanson, said this years ago. He was preaching here, and he said, you kids that are from bad homes, do you realize that God is preparing you to be youth pastors and youth pastor's wife so you can deal with them about their homes because you have a bad home also? We cannot get... You walk with a cane, you walk with a walker, you walk with a wheelchair... You're invalid, there's problems, you live on dialysis, all these things. Hey, I want to tell you, child of God, suffer long. Long suffering. Some of we've got people in this church that literally for years, decades, have had headaches every single day of their life. They don't know what a day, they don't know what a service is without a headache. They have splitting headaches. No doctor's been able to change it or help you with it. But God says, I want you to suffer long. Let's go on with all, number one, what? Loneliness. Secondly, thirdly, forbearing one another in love. Forbearing one another in love. That's to sustain one another. Again, this church has been so good to my wife and I. And that's true, all the food you've got, everything you've done for us the last 2 years, it's just been so good to us. But you're forbearing one another. You're caring for one another. And I think of so many illustrations I get every single week about the members. Oh, brother so-and-so stopped by and he did this at my house. Oh, sister so-and-so, she stopped by and did this. Oh, this person took me to the doctor. Oh, this one took me here. Oh, this one gave me some money. Oh, this one helped me with this. Oh, this one did not forget my birthday. Oh, this, and you know, it's just nonstop. That's forbearing one another. You have people all around you that you need to forbear. It doesn't mean that you are you putting up with them. It doesn't deal with that at all. You're forbearing. You're sustaining one another. Look what else he says. Verse 2. Verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Unity. Psalm 133, verse 1. Psalm 133, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. Amen. Nearly everywhere I travel to preach God's word, there's a lot of pastors in these meetings, and this pastor will say, Brother Traber, I'm really up against the wall. I've got a deacon that's so against me. I got a staff member, I'm thinking of one right now, a staff member that's just working against me, just against me. I think we have so many Bible college students, your dads are pastors, and your mom's a pastor's wife. So many of your parents, they are looking forward to see you come home because quite frankly, some of your parents are beat up. It's not like North Valley. I have 44 deacons, Brother Van Dyke. They're all great men of God. I have wonderful staff members. They're great people. We work in harmony together. I have great ushers, great Sunday school teachers, great bus workers, great nursery workers, great maintenance people, great food services people, great security people, every single position in life, great bus drivers, bus shuttle drivers, every single person is a blessing. But it's not that way most places. I've told you this illustration before. The pastor had to leave that church, and he's at another church and tearing it up. But the lady that ran the finances, she got rid of about 12 pastors in 12 years. And he's in a northern state where it's cold, and it was a winter night, very cold, and the power goes off of the church parsonage. A parsonage is a church-owned house where he was living in it. And he called her and said, "The power's off." She goes, "I know it." Brother Remus, she deliberately lapsed the bill so he would not get heat in his house. That pastor and his wife, they froze. They lit fires, they did everything, they just froze. That's ungodly. That's not the way you treat anybody in life. And then she did other things, and they got rid of them. Well, they lost out with a great man of God because he went to another state and he is tearing it up. The people love him and he loves them. You know, child of God, God says, "I want you to keep the unity and the bond of peace." Years ago, I'll close. I was pastoring I never knew this lady. She was run, I've been at the very spot where she was run over by a truck. Rosalie, it was your mom. I stood right there. I thought of that truck hitting her. She lost the ability to walk, and she came to the States, and I tell you, Priscilla was one of the best members I've ever had in my life. My wife would tell you this, Tabitha, she'd sew for us. She'd stay at, you're all shaking your head. She'd sew for us, make things for us, fix things, everything. Nothing was too hard. She would wheel herself to Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. That bridge and towers dedicated to her. I believe she was 58 when she passed away. She's buried out here. I was out there this week at the cemetery. She was such a good Christian, could not walk. But her favorite song, Brother Martinez knows it, it was a little chorus. And she'd sing it all the time, "Walking with Jesus, walking every day, walking all the way, walking with Jesus, walking with Jesus, my Lord." That was her desire, to walk with God. Are you walking with God tonight? Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Our Father, we're so very grateful for the fact that you love us. I thank you for these great people. Lord, they're wonderful. They're the best. No church like them. Thank you for our college students, so great. Thank you for our teenagers and the grade school kids. Thank you, Brother Frank and Debbie are here tonight. Thank you that Sister Yeoman is here with baby Lincoln tonight. God, you've been so good to us. I pray that you would bless this invitation. Lord, may we walk in lowliness of mind. May we walk in meekness this week. May we walk very carefully, circumspectly, in light, in love, endeavoring to keep the unity. Help us, God.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.